Everything that we do in life, whether we planned for it or did not plan for it, will happen. Life happens to people. There are things that we want to happen that don't happen. And things that we don't want to happen that happen. Life is very fluid. And day after day, as we grow, we get to understand that if we're not careful, there is no constant. That the only constant thing in life is change. But we do know there is a God who supersedes change. He is the true constant. Amen? The North Pole may be shifting, but God is not shifting. In the last decade or so, the magnetic force, the North, has shifted about 26,000 kilometers. And it's shifting by 50 kilometers every day, every hour, rather, 50 kilometers an hour. So what we know as true north is no longer true, but it's representative of how things are in the natural also. Because we're living in a time where people don't have any sense of constance. Everybody wants to believe what they want to believe, how they want to believe it, and you decide whatever it is that is your truth. So we talk about your truth. That's not my truth. That's your truth. Well, there's only one truth. But in a world where people want to believe whatever it is they want to believe, it's important that you and I find a place to anchor ourselves. Because if you don't know what you believe, why you believe, and are not affected by what you believe, and hopefully that which you believe is the truth, not a truth, the truth, then you are going to be in a state of flux. In a time when people just want to believe whatever, a few years ago, I was having a discussion with someone, and I told you guys about it, that I said, I am white. Do you remember this? And who's going to tell me that I'm not white? Elizabeth Warren said she is Indian. But she's not. So she's backstepping on that. There's some guy in Europe that's in his 60s that says, I am 20s plus. And he's suing for that. Are you? In the world where you don't know that you are male, and you can decide that you are female, well, in that world, anything can go. And can you imagine what confusion that is? When people do not know what they believe, why they are here, what they are here to do, how they're supposed to live their lives, and nobody knows what the other person is thinking, because whatever it is they are thinking is their truth, and what you are thinking is your truth. So I can pick up my gun and shoot somebody and say, it's my truth. I saw him putting his hand in his pocket And I thought he wanted to kill me, so I killed him. No, there's no gun. But he was putting his hand in his pocket. He was going for something. He definitely was going for something. Also, we are in a way, in a world where third trimester, you can abort the child, even outside the womb. So, a guy in New York that was being sued for murder is now freed. They are not suing him for murder anymore because the law now says that child is not a person. Right? So how are you going to live your life? How am I going to live my life in that kind of a world? You see, the reality is that man is moving towards a state of anarchy. And it is a major setup, because when it hits the fan and everybody's going crazy, they're going to need somebody who's going to bring order back. And that person is going to be anti-Christ. Are you with me? He's going to try to make sense of the confusion. If you live in that world, and what I'm talking to you about right now is not only affecting the outside world, it's inside the church. The church believes whatever it is it wants to believe, and truth is being adulterated by people that I believe as sons and daughters of God. They've always preached the truth, but now they are messed up. And all I can do is say, God, that's your son. Do whatever it is you need to do with him. That's where we are. What you knew to be true about somebody last year is no longer true this year. We have our spiritual statesmen all running to Rome to be part of a one world church. But they read their Bible. And I can't believe who's running up there. Oh, we are all one. The oneness that Jesus was talking about was not oneness so that we can all just flow together. The devil and God can never be one. Are you with me? The devil is the devil and God is God. How do we get into this mess? We get into this confusion because we have not continued in the word. That's what happens when you don't continue in the word and you just believe one thing and you don't have an understanding of the totality of the word of God because you've not meditated on the word of God. And so you take one truth and you keep on believing that until you go off on a tangent. And I can assure you of this, child of God, that wherever you stand looking at the elephant, and whatever part of that elephant that you are holding and describing, that is your truth for that. If you held to the foot of the elephant and you said, the elephant looks like a tree trunk, that would be true for you. But is that what an elephant is? If you are holding on to the trunk over there, you might say, oh, no. An elephant, and you're holding on to the trunk, you'll be saying, oh, no, it doesn't look like a tree trunk, it looks like a snake. And you maybe just be right. Is that what it is? Or you might be holding on to the ear. So, oh, this ear looks like a big fan. Might be true. But is that the truth? The only one that knows the complete truth is the one that created that animal and sees it all in its entirety. Are you with me? Everybody else is blind and living their truth based on their feelings. Their feelings. And their feelings is telling them what their truth is. But their truth is not the truth. The truth is the one who sees all of it and knows the full detail of it. And that one is God Himself. So if I want to know truth, and if I want to do justice, if I want to walk uprightly, I need to know what God says. Because ultimately what God says is the truth. Whether I like it or don't like it, it doesn't matter. That's the truth. It's what God said. God is the standard. The Word of God is the standard. My idea, my interpretation is not the truth. The Word of God is the truth. In Psalm 1, the Word of God says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel, the advice, the directives of the ungodly, nor standeth. I want you to see the progression. Walketh, standeth in the way of sinners, nor seated. If you walk with the ungodly, you're going to stand, and you're going to sit, and you're going to be scornful towards God. It's a progression. And that's what's happening in our world. Let me say to us, child of God, that if we don't get involved with what God loves, God so loved the what? The world. If we don't get involved in loving the world, not in loving the world and the things of the world and living like the world, but loving the world to be able to be salt to that world, then we are going to have to live based on the legislations and the systems of the world. And let me tell you, you know, many years ago, you won't catch me in Walmart on Sunday. Because I didn't go, because Walmart was not open on Sundays. And TD Bank was not open on Sunday. Everybody stayed home. They came to church and went home on Sunday. But when the legislation said, you can shop on Sunday, guess what? I went shopping. The rules, as the rules change, you can be affected. And you begin to compromise what you used to believe completely. And so if we don't, you know, that's why the Word of God says, it says, you better pray for leaders so you can live a peaceable life. Because as they do crazy stuff, it's going to affect you. I can guarantee you today, as I'm standing here right now, that as the laws about abortion are getting easier and easier, believers are going to be aborting kids just like the rest of the world, because the sanctity of life is lost. We are allowing the world to determine what we believe. How do you expect the devil to give you holy laws? But you're not going to be involved in politics. You're not involved at the trustee level in your school division. And so the school division decides on what they're going to decide on the sexuality of your child. And guess what? If you don't toe the line, Child and Family Service might just come and get you because you are brainwashing your male son that he is male. You are telling him that he is a male. You are not telling him that he can choose whether he's going to be male or female. You say, that's outrageous. They won't do that. When did I tell you guys about I am white? Now there's I told you then that they are going to do this. Some guy, 60-something years, says, I'm 20-something, I'm suing for it. And you dare tell me I'm not 20-something years old. I feel like I'm 20. Look at my biceps and my triceps. I can push. So you're going to tell him he's not? Go. Try it. But it only works as long as the rule makers say it's the truth and it's fluid. If we start walking in the counsel of the ungodly, we are going to stand in the way of sinners, discussing things, and we're going to sit with them and be scornful. Scorning the things of God. Well, morality is subjective. I don't want the government to be involved in my private affairs, and that's so true. That's so true. I don't want anybody telling me what to do and what not to do. We're not talking about anybody. Now we're talking about what does God say. And that's what you need to concern yourself about. That's what every one of us need to concern ourselves about. It's not about what so-and-so said. What does God's word say? Do you know what God's word says about fornication, adultery, lying, cheating, whatever else, gossip? I had a dream the other day. And the Lord showed me a document. And in this document, there was about what is wrong in the church and in society in general. And it was this blank spot, and I saw this hand write, gossip. I said, I'm looking at this writing, gossip, and I'm thinking, gossip. We don't talk about that much, do we? But God says, you got a problem. It's a problem of gossip. I'm still exploring the reality of that message he was trying to communicate with me. Gossip. Who takes gossiping as really wrong? You gossip about all kinds of things. And we find very nice ways of communicating gossip, even making it a prayer request. It's gossip. Gossip is gossip. And it tears families apart. It tears relationships apart. It creates an atmosphere of disunity. And where unity is, the power of God cannot be present. Power of God cannot be present. It's not just about unbelief. It's about the fact that we don't walk in love with each other. The world gossips.
We gossip. The world is messed up. We are messed up. Because we are not connecting with the truth of God's word. We're still walking in the counsel of the ungodly. Whatever the God ungodly says is okay, we say it's okay. Why do you say it's okay? It's the law. It's the law. Now you're sitting in the seat of discomfort. And now everybody's messed up. How do we change this? Word of God says, blessed is the man that doesn't do these things. Now it tells us what, and it's interesting that Word of God starts out with the not first. Because he tells us that before you build, you got to tear down first. Get to the bottom line. Get rid of walking in the counsel of the ungodly, standing, discussing with sinners their all messed up ideologies, and sitting in the seat of discomfort. He says, but rather his delight is in the law, the word of the Lord, and in his law or word doth he meditate. How long?
Day and night.
Day and night. 24/7. You're meditating on the word of God. So this is how you become blessed, by meditating on the word of God. You pick on a word of God and you meditate on it. You think about it. You think about it. You think about it. You think about it. You speak it to yourself. You chew it over and over, looking at it from every possible angle. And in the process of doing so, you become very aware of the meaning and the purpose, the intent, the design of that particular word, that thing that God is communicating, and why God is communicating it, what God has on his mind. You see, the laws of God are there for a reason. And when we meditate on the word of God, we begin to understand. For example, the Ten Commandments and the rest of the commandments were there to expose us to the very fact that we cannot keep them. It was there, first and foremost, to show to us that we are sinners. Because until the law came, you didn't know that you were doing something wrong. And because you didn't know that you were doing something wrong, even though the law is there and you are ignorant of it, the impact of that law was still affecting your life. So God put the law so that you know why you are being affected. But he put the law also to show to you that you cannot keep it because you are flawed. So he produced something called grace. Grace being the ability of God working in you and through you so that you can do what you couldn't do by yourself. But if I don't understand that this is the reason grace came, then I begin to only think about grace as license. But grace was never given to us for license to do whatever it is. Grace was given to us to show to us that we can come to God. If you fall 20 times, get up 21 times, come to God, recognizing that he will enable you to not fall again. Hello?
Yes.
But if I don't understand the fullness of what grace is all about, then I'm going to only talk about, if you fall 21 times, get up. You're okay. No, you're not okay. You're not okay. You're still falling. When you should be walking or running, you are crawling like a snake. You're not okay. Lord, grace, I know you love me.
I know you came to die for me, to deliver me, to set me free. I know I can do this. Your word says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I receive your strength. And before you know it, you are up. And not tripping all over yourself. Now, grace, now we understand grace. Grace does not cast me away. Grace brings me in to enable me. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So Paul says, should we continue in sin so that grace may abound? God forbid. God forbid. But if you don't understand the full impact of it, you will not go to the God forbid part.
Yeah.
Why are we going to talk about? Yeah, of course, every sin is sin. There's no big sin and small sin. Amen? And God has to forgive me for every sin. And I'm not living my life to perform anything, because the ability to perform, I don't have. But the ability to be what God says I am, because I know I am dead in Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. It is Christ that lives in me, and the life that I now live in this flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I can do it. I can do it. If I don't meditate on the word of God, I do not have the full picture. I'm holding on to the trunk or the foot of the elephant and saying, well, it's like the trunk of a tree. No, it's not. The elephant is not a trunk of a tree. You're just holding to one aspect of it. Get the full picture of it. That's where balance comes. And that balance comes about when we meditate on the word of God day and night. Got to meditate on the word of God. Got to muse on it. Chew on that word. Let that word captivate your heart. He says, and he shall be like. He shall what?
Be like.
He shall be. He shall be. He shall be. That means that he might not be right now, but he shall be. When? Because why? Because he's meditating on the word, and the word is making him become. The word of God makes us become more like God wants us to be. But if we don't meditate on the word of God and we're trying to be positive thinkers, you're going to lose out. You don't meditate on the word of God and you're going to pray the problem away. It's not going to happen. You're not going to pray it away. Faith comes by the word. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by how? The faith. The justified live by what? Faith. And faith cometh by what?
Hearing.
Hearing. The hearing of the what? The word of God. It is the word of God that changes you. It's the word of God that transforms you. It's not praying that transforms you. When you pray the word of God. Okay, that will work. But just praying, oh God, help me. Oh God, help me. It's not going to solve the problem. Get the word of God inside of you. And obeying the word of God, not just hearing it, obeying the word is where the transformation begins to take place. You obey the word of God because you agree with God that whatever it is that he said is the truth, not what you feel. It's not my feeling that makes the word of God effective. It's my believing that God is right. Amen? God, you are right. When you said, don't lie, you were right. When you said, don't lust, you were right. When you said, don't do drugs, you were right. When you said, you were right. Whatever it is that you said is the truth. When you said, give your tithe, you were right. Therefore, I am obeying what you said. Or else some fool from somewhere is going to come and tell you, You should not give. You should not tithe. You should not give your first fruits. You should not sing. You should not praise. You should not play instruments. And they will find you a verse. They will certainly find you a verse that will prove that you should not play instruments. Because they're holding on to one side of the elephant and not seeing the whole gamut of what God is saying about the subject. Somebody listening?
Yes.
So we must meditate on the word of God day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth. Someone say, bringeth forth. Bringeth forth his fruit in his season. Everybody has a particular season of fruitfulness. He says his leaf also shall not wither. Amen? And whatsoever he doeth shall what?
Prosper.
What? Some of the things he does will what? Some of the things he does will what? Everything. Whatsoever he doeth shall what?
Prosper.
Hopefully whatever it is that you are doing is not bad, because that will prosper too. But we say hopefully because you are meditating on the word of God. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, let's go to the New Testament and let's look at Matthew chapter 7. But the more, the Matthew 7, verse 17. In Psalm 13, the word of God tells us about this progressive change that brings us to a place of prosperity. He says to us in Matthew 7, 17, he says, even so, every good tree bringeth forth what? Good fruit. But a corrupt tree bringeth forth what? Evil fruit. When we go to Matthew 12, we'll have a better understanding. Verse 18 says, a good tree cannot bring forth what? Evil fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. So if you're a good tree, you're going to bring forth good fruit. If you're a corrupt tree, you're going to bring corrupt fruit. Amen? Not vice versa. Verse 19. Every tree that bringeth not good fruit is what? Hewn down, cut down, and cast into what? The fire. Meaning hell. Okay? Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit, meaning that it is a corrupt tree, every corrupt tree shall be hewn down. The word of God says that when we got born again, we were born with incorruptible seed. An incorruptible seed that produced an incorruptible tree that produces incorruptible fruit. Amen? When you're born again. Now let's look at Matthew 12. Matthew 12, verse 33. Matthew 12, 33. It says, either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. So the corrupt tree or the good tree did not just become. Somebody had to make it. Are you with me? You didn't just become a good tree, and you didn't just become a corrupt tree. You were neither good nor corrupt, but you have to form yourself in one category or the other. Are you with me? So he says, either make the tree good and his fruit good, or make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. How do you make the tree good or corrupt? You make it good or corrupt by the meditation on the Word of God. And I'm going to tell you the flip side. And this is where gossiping comes in. Oh, my Lord. He says, for the tree is known by his what? Fruit. Next verse. Oh, what? Generation of vipers. How can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth what? Speaketh. But the mouth speaks the abundance of the things that are in the heart based on you meditating on the word. So if you are not meditating on the word of God, you end up becoming a viper. A generation, you become like the world. That's why you must embrace the word of God. The word of God is not meant to be in some shelf somewhere in your house so that every Sunday you dust it off and bring it. If you still remember to bring it. We are more familiar with the young and the restless than the word of God. We are more familiar with what happened on CNN or ABC or CBC than what the word of God is saying. We know more about all kinds of other stuff. We live in a world of social media. Everybody knows whatever. You know, brother was sharing a joke with us the other day. We're doing some work downstairs. He said, do you know the first name of the guy who made the toilet? I said, I don't know. He said, his name was John. I said, oh, okay. He said, do you know the last name? I said, no. He said, his name was Crapper. I said, John Crapper. Okay. I said, really? Are you serious? He said, yeah. That's. So we had a dear sister, you know, this modern age, they can Google anything. So they Googled, while we're talking, they're Googling and said, yeah, there are three people are credited with the toilet, and one of them's name is John, but nothing says about Crapper over here. And so I said, well, you know what? If you go on Google right now and type out and said, you know, as somebody asks a question, somebody else answers and says, the last name was Crapper, Google will accept it, and it will become the new truth. But that's life. There are all kinds of people pumping out all kinds of information through the system, but most of it is all junky lies. It's a confused state. I was listening to the news one day. I finished listening to the news. I saw the real deal. This is the truth. The guy said this. I tuned to Fox. Fox TV was saying the same thing. I tuned to CNN. CNN was saying something totally different. I said, but that's not what the guy said. The guy said this. Why are you saying this? It was based on the prism that they were looking out of. And I sat back and thought, okay, how did they come up with that conclusion? Well, okay, because they believe this, and they believe this, and they believe this, and they believe that. The things that you believe are determining how you are interpreting your world. So you better be careful what lenses you have on. Better get God's lenses, not the lenses of your educator, of your politician, of your medical doctor, or your whatever. Know where the truth is. Because, child of God, you are going to believe all kinds of crazy stuff in the days to come if you are not founding yourself, laying the foundation of yourself in the integrity of the Word of God, the God who is the truth and nothing but the truth. Somebody listening? Because we're living in dangerous times. And everybody is trying to capture your attention. They're going to say whatever it is that they need to say and convince you that that is the truth. They will manipulate the figures. It's like statistics and polling. You ask a certain question, you get certain kind of answers. Just depending on what questions you asked and how you asked it. Now go to God and deal with God directly. The Word of God says, O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? You're not going to speak good things out of your mouth because you're going to speak out of the abundance of the heart. O generation of vipers, how can you, being, present tense, continuous, evil, speak good things? What is the Word of God saying? It's saying if you don't have the abundance of His Word in your heart, you are a viper. You are of that generation. The snake. Did the snake tell all lies? No. The snake did not tell. Everything the snake said was not a lie in the garden. And you think that everything that the world is going to say is going to be the lie? Or when the wrong message is being preached, that you will be able to identify all of it as a lie? No. A lot of the things that they are going to say is the truth, and you're going to say amen to that, amen to that, amen to that. And the lie is not only in what is added, it is also in what is subtracted. Let me say that again. The lie is not only in that which is added to the truth that you know, it's also what is subtracted. What is not added to it. You can add something that does not belong, but you can also subtract something that belongs. And both, whether it's addition or subtraction, if it is not complete, is a lie. That make sense? I'm going to expose myself unnecessarily right now. Many years ago, I was in a teacher training college. And it was a time for exams, final exams, governmental exams. And I happened to be in my dorm, and an exam paper came out of the exam hall. And there it was, and people were solving the questions. The Nigerians who are here already know what I'm talking about. They're already smiling. They were solving the questions and doing, and I happened to be there. I saw what they were doing, and I stayed away. But they did whatever it is, and they snuck it back, and they got caught. So now, when they got caught, everybody's called to the principal's office. They called person number one, person number two, person number three. They can expel those that are not finishing, but those that are finishing, their results were going to be squashed, and that means they were not going to get their papers. I get called, and I come in, and the principal looks at me and says, I know you're not part of them, just go. And I was excused. The fact is that he knew something about me that was true, but I had done something wrong by being there. And I was excused, I got my papers, these other guys didn't get their papers. But the fact is that I was in the room where they were doing their crazy cheating. Are you with me? The reason he excused me was because I was a spiritual leader in that school. I did not go and tell him, sir, the fact is that I was there too. No, that would be foolishness. I just walked out of there. I walked out of there as fast as I could get out of there. But till this day, I still remember. Man, what a foolish thing to do. Shouldn't even be anywhere close to that place. You got to know what you believe and stand out for truth. Amen? Let me go a little bit further. It says in verse 35, a good man out of the good treasure of the heart, and that good treasure is happening because you're meditating on the word of God, bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. How did he get the evil treasure? He was busy walking with the ungodly, standing with sinners, and sitting with the scornful. That's how he became that. Why? Because he was meditating on something else. The issue is, you're going to be meditating on something. But what are you meditating on? Hopefully, you're not meditating on somebody's writings, but rather on the Word of God. Amen? That's what you and I need to do. Get to be very familiar with the Word of God in a good way. Familiarize yourself with what God says. What does God's Word say about this? What does God's Word say about this? What does God's Word say about that? What does God's Word say about this? What does God's Word say about that? What does God's Word say about this? So that you have a clear understanding. And please, child of God, do that now. Do that now. Don't be waiting for years to come. Begin to do that now. Familiarize yourself with what God's Word says about different issues and ask yourself, why did God say this and not that? Why was this happening this way and not this way? Who said this? And why didn't this person say that? What is this word here? What does that word mean? Think. And please, I've been telling you for the longest time, get a physical Bible. Amen? Thank God for the iPad and whatever else and all these Bibles, electronic Bibles that we have. Thank God for all of that. But I tell you what, when you are updating, somebody can change something. And your Bible is changing. I've shown it to you. Get a physical Bible. If you may, get the one that is most difficult to understand, King James. It will force you to meditate. All these magazine Bibles that we have nowadays. I saw one Bible, you know, about 10 years ago. It was like a magazine. Yeah, it's crazy stuff. How do you give any kind of credence or respect to something that's like a magazine, like Time magazine, that you can just toss all over the place? I remember many years ago, You know, sometimes people go overboard. You know, I'm in Nigeria, and, well, I shouldn't have done it, actually. I'm in Nigeria, and I had my Bible, and I'm kneeling down, and I put the Bible down, and I knelt on the Bible. Oh, somebody flipped on that one. Oh, my God. Oh, did they ever flip? You are kneeling on the Bible. You have more honor for your clothes than the Bible. And they're right. But I can flip it and say, on the solid rock of the Word of God. My truth, your truth. But that's how we live in our lives. No respect, no respect, no respect for the Word of God. No respect for the men of God. You should hear things that people say about men of God. Shut your mouth already. That man stands or falls before God. And you pointing your finger like a crazy fool. Don't let God turn on you. Whether you're right or wrong, God may just turn on you and show you that he is the boss and that he is the judge and not you. He did not invite you. He didn't give you any gavel to come here and start pounding on something. Well, I have an anointing. What is that? I have the gift of criticism. There's no such gift. God has anointed me to be the critical one. Yeah, that's why your face is all messed up. Critical. Let's look at the next verse. But I say unto you, watch this now, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. God is talking about the tree, but he's bringing it down, breaking it down, and now he's talking about the idle word. Now I understand why God was showing me gossip. Idle words. You're going to have to deal with that. God says, this is how you make yourself corrupted. And therefore we produce corrupt fruit. No, nothing good is going to come out of you. Or you want to make yourself good? Then make yourself by meditating on the word of God, not on the words of men. Because idle words, you're going to give an account of in the day of judgment. Amen? Let's go on. For by thy words, thou shalt be what? Justified. The just live by what?
Faith.
And by thy words, thou shalt be what?
Condemned.
I'm looking at what's happening down south right now. My daughter says, you're getting too involved with all this politics. I can't get myself out of it. Because, it's the image of what's happening in the world. When they start pointing their fingers, I said, these people, oh my, are they ever bringing themselves to judgment? They are bringing themselves to judgment because they are going back and digging up people's mess from way back. No forgiveness. And they don't know that they are declaring the same way that you meet to others, it shall be meet to you. And that if you are going way back and pulling other people's mess, God is going to judge you on the basis of the standard that you have set up. Yeah? So what happened? They had covenant, and one party, they didn't want due process. Throw that guy in the jail. Let him not this and blah, 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 blah. Give the guy a break. Let us hear him out. No, we don't want that. Oh, no, we don't want that. Okay. So now they had a situation in Virginia. three of the same party, one carries blackface, governor. The guy that's supposed to follow through with him has the same covenant problem. He's been accused of sexual immorality. He should drop off just like everybody else. Oh, but no, we'll just protect him. And then they go after the AG is supposed to be the next. Now he's done blackface too. So now we've got, and then the next person is supposed to be a Republican. Oh, but if our three guys drop off, the Republican is going to become governor. Oh, no. But they find a black man. Get rid of the black man. Same issue. Prejudice, racism, it's all over the place. No standards. It's confusion in the land. Why? Because people don't follow the word of God. And they have been condemned by their own words. Because whatever words they spoke is now staring them in the face, and now they're wiggling all over the place. The governor is hiding and going through tunnels so nobody talks to him. So, mess. Oh, God. Is it ever a mess? That's the world we live in. What's next? Verse 38. See, when people are messed up, they stop believing. And the next statement the Lord talks about that the passage addresses is a certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we will see a sign from thee. What is the connection? We will see a sign from thee. No, the guy is talking about the tree and the corrupt things coming out of your mouth. He said, we'll like to see a sign. Oh, my God. That's what confused minds get into, because they never want to deal with their issue. Always want to point a finger at somebody. Verse 4 of Psalm 1. Oh, let me move on this real quick. Psalm 1, verse 4. It says, the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. They are not prosperous. They are like the chaff that the wind driveth away. Verse 5 says, therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. In other words, God saying, I'm going to separate people. There's going to be a time when the righteous are going to be together and the ungodly, they're going to be obviously together. In other words, you're going to be in one or two camps. And let me tell you now, child of God, if you've not heard me say it before, persecution is coming. You are going to be persecuted. Have that settled, and you've got to know what you stand for and be willing to die for your faith. Some people will die for their faith. Some people will live through whatever it is that's coming. But the fact is, you're going to have to decide where you stand. And I can assure you right now, as I stand here right now, that you will not be able to stand for truth if you don't know the truth. God is, oh glory, hallelujah, praise the Lord. One day somebody's going to ask you to prove this, oh hallelujah, praise the Lord. And you're going to say, I'm not one of them. I was just joking. Yeah, that's how they do it. Oh, hallelujah, praise the Lord. but that's not me. You're going to be there. It's coming. Can't. Let me tell you now. If you are not faithful to God, that unfaithfulness is going to be made manifest. but I don't know why you believe. Amen? Jeremiah chapter 17. Jeremiah 17, I'm going to take it from verse 5 and move quickly on this. Thus said the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man. Blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel. Cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departed from the Lord. Why? They've not meditated on the word of God. They departed from the Lord and now have become sitters who are scornful. For he shall be like the heath in the desert. He shall be like the heath in the desert. That's a very interesting word, heath. It's the Hebrew word arar, and it simply means, in very real terms, it means one that is naked, poor, destitute, and stripped. Somebody that is stripped, somebody that is naked, somebody that is poor, somebody that is destitute. That's that word. For he shall be like the heath, the destitute, the stripped person, the naked, poor person in the desert. And shall not see. In other words, is blind. Shall not see when good cometh. Good is coming and they cannot see it. But shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land. That word salt land is another very important Hebrew word that means barren. A barren land. Melechor. And not inhabited. Wait a minute. But shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabited. What is this saying? You shall inhabit a place that is not inhabited. That means you are alone. Guess what world we are living in now? We're living in a world of aloneness. You can have 20 people sitting down, even in the same house, and they cannot communicate with each other, because they are all alone on their cell phones and they can't talk with each other. At a time when we should be able to communicate, we have lost our communication skills. People can't even write proper grammar anymore because we are texting. Are you with me? You don't know where the comma is, where the full stop is, where the semicolon is. You don't know any syntax, nothing. You can't even spell right. Because even Google or whatever, you know, tries to spell for you and they spell wrong for you. Yeah. What you're trying to say, it says something else. And you find out after you've sent it, you say, oh my. Now you start correcting the correction. Wow. That's what the Bible is talking about. In a salt land and not inhabited. You're alone. You think you're part of a group? No, you're not. You're not part of any family. You really have family when you have truth. The word of God goes on. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. Whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a what? A tree planted by the waters. Is that not like someone? And that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh. You don't see when heat comes. But her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought. In other words, you're not pinching your pennies. And you have drowned. You know, you're not careful about, oh, let's rush on the water. No, because the blessing is on your life. Yeah. Hallelujah. Neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Neither shall what? Cease from yielding fruit. All of your days, productive, fruitful, no barrenness, because the goodness of God is abiding in you. Why? Because you meditated on the word of God. You meditated. You did all the work. Meditating. It's not a waste of time. Meditating on the word of God. It's fashioning you. It is molding you. It's transforming you so that you can prove that which is God's good, acceptable, and perfect will. Blessed be the name of the living God. Verse 9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? How do you change a deceitful, desperately wicked heart? By meditating on the word of God. Do you get it?
Yes.
Do you get it?
Yes.
There are more things I want to share with you, but I'll close up with John 14 and verse 30. I close with this. I'll continue tonight on this subject. Because God tells us in Joshua, he says, you got to meditate on the word of God day and night. Don't let this word depart from your lips. He says, this is how you're going to make your way. This is how you're going to make you prosperous. Jesus says, hereafter I will not talk much with you. For the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. And you say, why are you giving us that verse? It doesn't have anything to do with what we're talking about. No, it has everything. The reason I am presenting this verse to you is this. Jesus, our Lord, who is the word of God. Amen? Is he the word of God? And is he the truth? He says, from now on, I will not be able to talk much with you. Why? The prince of this world cometh. So I got to give you the truth now. There's going to be a time when I'm not going to be able to tell you anymore about this. But I want you to know this, that when he comes, he will not have anything to work with and had nothing in me. He doesn't have his words in me. He doesn't have his thoughts in me. He doesn't have his ways in me. All that's in me is the word of God and obeying God. And because he has nothing in me, there's nothing for him to handle. There's no handle. There's nothing he can take. So I'm going to be able to place my life down, and I'm going to have to take it back up. Because I am not killable. I'm going to have to allow myself to die. So whatever, and this is the point. This is the point. Are you ready? The point is this, that the devil does not have any power or control over my life. Whatever it is that's happening in my life now, it's happening because I made the decision that this is how it's going to be. Did you get a point? Did you get it? The devil cannot kill me. I'm making the decision that I'm going to die because I have a greater purpose. Except the kernel of wheat dies, it abided alone. So whatever it is that I'm allowing myself to go through, I'm allowing myself to go through it for the benefit of others. You get it? It happens because of the word of God that he's abiding in. Take the control away from the devil for your body, for your resources, for everything that pertains to you. Take the power away from the devil, that he doesn't have anything to manipulate inside of you. Why? You are so full of the word, and the only thing coming out of your mouth is the word. Truth, righteousness, purity, prosperity, not fear, not doubt, not confusion. None of that. Do you receive this word?
Yes.
Then shout hallelujah unto
hallelujah.
The Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.